Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I think about it, you know, remember when I was in Rome on the way to Israel, and we stopped off there, and we thought, you know, hey, you know, we got a little bit of layover here. We're going to go and tour Rome. We're going to tour. How's it go? Tour Rome. We're going to tour Rome. And so we walked down, and there's just like, we're being like just onslaughted by all these people who just were so, just, they just wanted us to have a tour of Rome. They were like all over.
They're so kind to you.
Yeah, but they, you know, they just, they just didn't speak English. Anyway, so they were, and so, you know, they go, oh, well, you know, we'll do it for this, we'll do it for that, but it didn't sound like that, you know, and so we're trying to figure out what to do. We got our little, I guess, Lear calculators out or whatever, trying to figure out, you know, what it costs to do whatever. And then finally, somebody gets a wise idea. We don't need these guys who actually live here. We don't need these guys who can get to anywhere in Rome that you need to go. Let's just go ahead and rent our own car.
Oh.
So not only do we not know how to drive in Rome, we don't even know where we are in Rome. And so we have a car full of this.
I know what that means.
Yeah, and so, you know, and so we have a map. We have a map.
Oh, and no GPS, huh?
Oh, no. We have a map. It's a piece of paper. It's a paper map on a piece of paper. For those listeners who don't know, I used to print maps on paper. It used to not be in Google's database. Anyway, so we had this map, and so I was a passenger. And I was held captive. It was a bondage. And so they just started driving, you know, and it's like, you know, before you start, you know, driving somewhere, you first need to know where you're at. Because they just assumed that the map that they had, that they knew where they were on it. You know, and so just started driving these major highways, and all the signs were written not in English, and we went around, and they had this huge Ferris wheel, just one big tire, you know, one big Ferris wheel, and we would pass by it, and it'd be on the right side of us, you know, and 15 minutes later we'd pass by it, and it'd be on the left side of us, you know, and then we'd pass by on the other side, and it's like, we're not going anywhere. We're seeing the same ruins every day. I mean, what is going on here, guys? You gotta get, and they're like, we're lost. And like, look at the map. But the map wasn't written in English. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even know where they were. And of course, I didn't know where I was. And they didn't care. They just kept driving like me. I'm like, we're going to have to find out. I am not going to ride around in some car not knowing where we are, and besides, this is just a stopping point. We're going to Israel. I don't want to stay in Rome. And so finally I just said, stop, you know, and they stopped because they were at the end of themselves. They didn't know what to do. And I took this map that they had, that they were confident in, as they rented a car to drive around, try to, you know, I don't know, just Americans, where, you know, Lord forgive us, you know. And so and man, they looked at us every time, you know, people in Rome, they look at you like, yeah. You know, it's like oh, okay, I'll tolerate you for a minute if you buy a sandwich. And it was bad. And so I walk up this hill in this park, and these two soldiers are standing, you know, in this park near this city, near the Ferris wheel, I'm sure. And I open the map up, and I lay it on the hood of their car or their Jeep or whatever. And I don't speak their language. They don't speak my language. And I throw my arms out and like, where am I? You know, help us. You know, and I'm like pointing at the map, throwing my shoulders up, my hands up. It's like, lost. He leans over and he speaks a little bit of English. He goes, stupid American. No, he doesn't. No. And so he looks at the map and they both study it. And then they laugh for some reason. Mm-hmm. And they look at each other. They look at the map and laugh. And then they come back and says, where you are is not on this map. You know, and I'm thinking like, my goodness.
A map of France it was?
Well, it was a map of Russia. No, it you know, they just, you know, you don't just start doing something. You first got to find out where you are. And once you find out where you are, you need to know where you're going. And so when you hear about, you know, God's word is a lamp unto my feet, it tells you where you are on the map of all creation and your life and why God created you, that he has a plan for your life. He has a destiny for your life. And not only that, first find out where you are, because you might need to repent. You might need to find out, oh, I am in a wrong territory here. I need to change the territory I'm in. So it's a lamp unto my feet, you know, and it's the Psalms 119 that I'm talking about. And it's a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. Which means not only is it going to tell you where you are in your life, but this is why many people avoid it. This is George Barna's survey said like only 18% of the people who profess to be Christians are reading their Bible. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means only 18% potentially know where they are and where they're going. Mm-hmm. The rest of them are in the dark.
Right.
That's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that means, right? Because if you have no lamp or light, you're in the dark. You're like, you're seeing the same thing over and over again in your life, just like the Ferris wheel situation. You're seeing it again and again and again, and you're getting frustrated. But you know what? You're never stopping and facing the fact that you don't know where you are and you don't know where you're going, and you got to go to God's word to find out where you're at. You know, and you got to begin to, and we call that abiding. You just got to hang out with God. You got to let his light, the light of God's word, shine upon you where you're at. Don't just go around shining God's word on everybody else and never applying it to yourself. Hmm. Realize that it's actually on all of us. And there are, I mean, the religious spirit that goes around it's about shining the light on everybody else, but it never shines the light on themselves. And so everybody says, well, I'm not going to apply the accurate light you shine on me because you're not applying that same light to yourself. Because they say you're in the dark while you're telling me to be in the light. But if you'll shine the light on yourself first, the light of God's word, and then adjust accordingly, thank God for the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God and the cross of Christ and the power involved in that, then you can begin to shine the light to know what your destiny is. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing more frustrating to look at people who weren't willing to communicate, you know, and they were going to help, you know, me minister in Israel. And then there was nothing more frustrating than to people who won't admit that they were wrong in the beginning of their venture, that they're not in this map anywhere. And, you know, not willing to trust the fact that, you know, just because they don't speak your language doesn't mean what they're saying is they're going to, you know, take advantage of you when they're going to drive you around and show you. Sometimes it's worth paying a little bit more for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Because in the long run, ignorance costs you a lot more money. Sometimes it costs you your life.
Yeah. Mm.
And luckily, it didn't cost us a flight.
You know? Yeah.
Know. And, you know, I'm the kind of person that's like, you know, I'm not going to circle around too many more times. And when I look at, I don't know what it is, you know, and I pray, Lord, if it's not of you that you'd remove from my life. But I look at the church today and I feel like I'm passing that same Ferris wheel.
Mm.
And I'm like, are you here again after 90 days? Are you here in the same spot again? Are you singing one more song? Are you sitting between those same pews one more time? Are you jumping on God's people again, telling them to do something that you know they're not going to do because what you set up does not allow for them to be activated in the kingdom of God? I think about this sign that was sent to me in this group on Facebook, and it said, it said something like, pastors lead and feed, and the sheep swallow and follow.
Mm.
Pastor, and he had his name underneath it. I'm like, dude, are you serious? Are you serious? And then I was like, and the person who shared this with me, they go, serious? And then I'm like, this is horrific. And then I thought, dude, this could be prophetic. Because it's like, am I really supposed to do something? What you, because every time I start to do something, you tell me I can't do it, because if I go do it, then I'm not going to be here in your thing anymore. And so I feel guilty for not doing what you tell me to do. But when I go do it, you make me feel guilty for going to do it. Hey, this is a religious spirit. You're supposed to train me up in the way I should go. And I should not depart from it. I should go out into the harvest field and do something with it. You should have taught me to hang out with God, find out where I am on the map, show me God's destiny for my life, train me up and realize, you know, giftings can take you places that character can't keep you. So I need to be rightly related to make sure that I deal with my flesh and my stupidity that happens in our lives. And but in that, I need to be faithful, because I'll answer alone before God. I mean, no witnesses, no suspects. But yet you make me feel guilty when you preach to me, but then you make me feel ashamed when I go do what you want me to do. And it's like, maybe that sign is serious. I mean, he put his name underneath it. The pastor put his name underneath it. He said, pastors, they lead and feed, and sheep swallow and follow. And it's like, no, that's not. It's the Great Commission. The Great Commission's for all of us. He said, listen, I want you to go. I was sent into the world, Jesus said. My Father sent me to make his name known, to bring glory to him. And as I was sent in the world, I'm sending you in the world. Listen, we're in America and it ain't good right now in regards to the things of God, because we are caught between guilt and shame. It's like, I hear the message, but last year when I tried doing this, I felt the shame for doing it, because I was going to have to leave you to do it. But, you know, in a natural sense, when you have natural children, you're not concerned about them leaving. You're trying to escalate the thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's really time. Did you ever look beyond this place?
Yeah, right.
Did you ever think about getting your own pantry? You know what I'm saying? Did you ever think about getting your own house? I mean, that's a normal way of doing things. But now you got like 40-year-old kids living with 60-year-old parents, and the parents are going, how do I get rid of them? Parents talk, and they go, listen, I think I'm just going to change states, you know? And it's like, and now you got the government tying adult children to parents till they're 26 years old. I'm like, dude, come on, grow up. But you know what? The church is not growing up. The church is not growing up. And when he says that the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, it lets us know where we're at and where we're going. If only 18% are even reading the word, and only 3% are concerned about the consequences of that word on their heart, it's not even 18%. It's only 3%. A percentage of that 18%, mind you, is concerned about the conditions of their heart and where they're going. They don't even care. You know, it doesn't care. We live in a blessed land. You can be stupid for a long time in a blessed land.
Yeah.
I mean, just drive around. Just drive around. It's like, how long have you been that stupid? How does this work? How could you... You know, they say, when's the last time you worked? Oh, I don't know, 5 years ago. But you're fat. How did you get that big? You haven't worked. And where do you live at? Oh, I live in this thing. And you got cable? You hadn't worked in 5 years and you got cable?
You got a phone?
Got a cell phone. Got a smartphone. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on. Just because you're able to live and be stupid in a blessed land, don't...
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm presently a student attending a community college, and I'm required to take a biology class for my degree. In the class, evolution is presented as the unifying theory of biology. And when test time comes, I'm going to be required to regurgitate this information back as if it's fact. Evolution can't be proven scientifically, and I'm wondering if I have any legal recourse such that I won't have to do that.
You're going to have to take the test. You don't get to opt out of the curriculum. This isn't a high school situation. They're allowed to teach a curriculum pursuant to their curriculum committees at at the college. And you don't have to say, I believe that evolution is correct. If they were to come back and say, look, I'm requiring you to believe this, that would be a very different scenario and a very different question.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
You know, you alone are going to be held accountable before God for your own actions. You cannot blame yourself on anybody. Everybody's held personally accountable. And America's like, my goodness, they're blaming anybody and everybody. You know, I was watching a particular documentary where they're talking to these kids, and these kids were like, yeah, it's my dad's fault. It's my mom's fault. You know, my dad left us, and this is going on. And then I pictured, God showed me a vision of like five generations being talked to at the same time, because every kid becomes, every boy becomes a father, every woman, girl becomes a mother. And so now all her kids and his kids begin to blame them for it. And so imagine now a counseling session, like you're skipping all the life in between, and you're talking just to kids, you know, like 10 generations, and you're having a choir conversation. You might as well talk to them all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me the last 40 years was none of y'all's fault. Nobody took ownership of this whole thing. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're talking to some kids that were kids in the 50s. You're talking to kids that were kids in the 70s. You're talking to kids that were kids in the 80s. Now you're talking to kids that were in the O's, you know. And if that argument's true, if that stupid argument is true, then nobody's responsible for anything, and God is unfair by holding you personally accountable for your life. Mm. The truth is, you got to take ownership. The word blame stands for, but look at my excuse. But that doesn't work at the throne of God.
Right.
Listen, we have to change our mind. Listen, get tired of ignorance. I can't watch stupid anymore. I mean, I remember I used to watch Lucille Ball show years ago, and it was funny. Mm-hmm. It was funny because it was stupid, you know, but it was kind of light stupid. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And stupid light. And then, but then it's like there became so many things like Lucy, you know, in reality. Right. It's like, I just can't watch stupid. As a matter of fact, today's wisdom moment we're talking about talks about that. You know, we're going to be talking about it's better to face a mother bear who lost her cubs than it is to face a fool and his folly. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And it's like, you know, it's just, we got to quit being stupid. We've got to quit it. We got to stop it. Listen, we're going to be held accountable for this. We're going to be held accountable for this life. You know, and it's just what he said. A person who will not listen to instruction is stupid. That's what Proverbs says. And so we have to go, you know, I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to not know. I want to know. I want the light of God's word to be shown on my life. And listen, this is going to be a day where Jesus, he said over and over again, he said, follow me. And he went on. And right now in America, what we do is say, follow me. And then someone says no. And then we spend 6 years in counseling trying to convince them to follow God instead of just going, okay, see you, bye, and go to the next. Because there are people who want to know what God has to say. There are people who believe God. There's a people who want to know where they are on the map, and they're tired of looking at the Ferris wheels in their life. There is a people. You know what? And wide is the road that leads to destruction, and most people are going to go that way. But the narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you that get off the stupid wide road and get on the narrow road and realize that all of eternity's weighing in the balance, and God's plans for you are good, plans to bless you and prosper you. And no matter how bad it looks, it will look good for you, because God can turn things around if he'll find some people of his that'll turn their hearts around to follow him. I want to encourage you this morning. If you have not yet made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not saying that, you know, you are not an American Christian. I mean, everybody in Islam says everybody in America is a Christian.
Right.
I mean, everybody in America says everybody's a Christian. Right. It's, you know, he's like, I just wanted to know if you know, if you're a Christian or not. It's like, where do you go to church? And they go, oh, I go to church at 123 such and such street. Oh, okay, okay. Do you even care what they believe? Do they even mm-hmm. show up? Most people don't even show up. Mm. They don't even know. Either somebody's dying on their deathbed, right? What do they say? They go, oh, bring my family around my bed because this is the last time I'm going to see them, you know, and, mm-hmm. And bring my pastor. What's right. my pastor's name again? What's our pastor's mm. name again? What's his, I remember seeing it on the sign. But I couldn't see him from the distance between me and him every Easter when I came. Uh-oh. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, bring him here because I need my last rites. And they say, well, you're Pentecostal. It's like, okay, that was a movie I saw. But listen.
Oh, my.
And it's like, you know, we have two regrets when people have two regrets when they're about to die. And you can eliminate those today. One is that I want to see my family because I'm about to leave them. There's nothing else I could do for them. And the other regret is I'm about to see God. I'm going to answer for things I didn't do or did do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you can eliminate those regrets today by saying, you know what? I want to know where I'm at on this map. I want to begin an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But first, I want to know where I'm at on it. So you need to find the cross. You need to find the cross on the map of your life. You need to go make Jesus the Lord of your life. You need to, if you don't know how to make him the Lord of your life, listen, we've helped you out. You can go to meetmyfather.org. And we shared a couple of our stories when we were wondering and we were lost. And a few of us were lost in a few of our stories. And you can kind of see, like, we're all over the map. And then when we found God, then we found who we were and where we were on the map. And then God began to shine his light in our life. And you know, yeah, we got off the track a couple of times, and you know, but the fact is, we knew we were still on the map. We were still in God's will, and God was is directing us. And you can have that. There's nothing like knowing where you're at and knowing where you're going. And there's nothing more frustrating than to not know where you're at and not know where you're going and knowing what life's about. And so you can go to meetmyfather.org. But right now, you can just cry out to Jesus, say, "Lord, I want you in my life. Jesus, I need you. I want your light on me, around me, and I want to see where you want me to go. I'm ready to surrender my life to you. I have done wrong. I am lost. There's nothing I could do outside of my own works. I need you, Jesus. Be the Lord of my life." And he'll come into your life right then. And then you can go to Meet My Father and find out what to do next. Meetmyfather.org. The Lord is in control. And he is raising up a people. He's positioning people. And we have some great, exciting things we're going to be sharing with you in the near future about what the Lord is doing, what we're seeing him do. And yes, there is a storm on the horizon. Yes, we are in the midst of a storm, weather patterns that even the most educated meteorologists can't even explain. Even the global warmers are going, I don't know what's going on. I know it's snowing and it's spring.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been crazy. Everything's just out of play. But, you know, if you can go to VFN Torch right now, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch, you'll see firsthand that John Paul Jackson spoke prophetically about this, which means God said this was going to happen, and he shared the headlines, not a lot of details, but the headlines about what's going on. We've been seeing this as well, and you really don't want it to be a reality, but it's a reality. And understand this, that, you know, if you love God, you've been talking to people about the Lord and they've been unresponsive, guess what? They're going to be more responsive.
They sure will.
There's nothing like having, you know, being thirsty and somebody showing up with a glass of water. You know, when you're desperately, you know, needing a word and needing to hear from the Lord, that's what happens. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Begin to abide with the Lord. Prepare yourself for what's about to take place. It's only going to increase, but understand that the kingdom is going to explode in growth. You know, people are going to cry out to God, and God's going to answer, and he's going to save. and people that have been stuck and held captive, as Rick Joyner saw in a vision when he wrote about in the book called The Call. He said there's a lot of people held prisoner. They're held prisoner in a religious prison. And as long as they stay in the prison, then everything's, you know, the those that are being held captive to hold them captive are just happy as can be. But mm-hmm. the second they start to climb over those walls, we're talking spiritual things,
sure.
They begin to just attack and begin to just do everything they can. Because what happens is when you start coming out of the spiritual religious prisons, that and if you're upset right now because I'm saying that, you must be in a, you know, head of a prison or something.
You're
but
right.
if you're not, you're not. It doesn't matter what you're meeting in. But if all of a sudden somebody begins to get vision and they can see outside those walls, then there's these folks that are standing around the walls. This is his vision. This is Rick Joyner's vision. Mm-hmm. He's wrote about it in the book, The Call. That all of a sudden they begin to attack that one. They begin to attack them and do everything they can to keep them from going over the wall. And going over the wall, the individual has to deal with all their fears and all the lies the enemy has told them how it's going to be. And they find out, though, once they make it through that barrier, that it was all a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing. That's all Satan is. He's a liar, you know, and he's the father of lies. And you find out there's a whole new world out there that God is God. And everything that he says he is and says he can do, he does.
Mm-hmm.
And but the dangers are, once you get free, that there's all kinds of prisons like that all over the place that just some people just end up back in a prison again.
Right.
And if you haven't read the book, The Call, I encourage you to get it. Hopefully you'll be able to find it on The Torch today. Go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch. It was penned in 1998, November 1998 is when I think he signed it. He published it in 99, I think. And understand, it's prophecy. But people say, well, that's an older book. Look, the Bible, come on. I mean, prophecy speaking about the future in advance. I mean, Joseph had a long ways to go once he first heard the word that his brothers were going to bow down to him. I mean, prison, you know, false accusation, slavery, a few little things had happened first before that happened. But it came to pass. You know, we're in this instant generation where all of a sudden we go like, well, God gave me a word and it hasn't happened yet. And it's like, that was last month, dude. I mean, you still have to die still, you know?
Oh, I know.
There's a lot of things. You don't want it to show up too soon. It'll run over you. Your destiny will flatten you out. And I remember that, you know, Joyce Meyer, she's a minister, you know, powerful. God's using her powerfully in the kingdom. And she just says all these things. It's amazing what she gets away with.
Mm-hmm.
And, but she was ready. She was so ready. And maybe that's you today. You feel like you're so ready. But this is what the Lord told her. But they're not ready for you yet.
Mm.
And understand, this is not your plan. This is God's plan. And Jesus' plan, think about Jesus. God's plan for Jesus was 3 effective years. 3 years.
That's it.
That was it. 3 years. You know, he was going to just be faithful to his father, his earthly father, Joseph. He's going to be faithful to his father in heaven and faithful to his mother and to live amongst, to live out the humanness of him becoming a man, and but do it sinlessly. And with that, all of a sudden, when it became his time, when everybody was right for him and God had prepared the way, and we prepared the way for Jesus, that was his cousin, John the Baptist, who was born real close to the same time. They're about the same age, a few months apart. That matter of fact, they both were pregnant at the same time. Their mothers were. And John was out baptizing. God just put this fire in John's bosom to be separate. And this is, listen, you got to be willing to separate yourself from what is happening so God can bring to pass what will be happening. So many people want to hang on to what is, and they're not willing to just trust God and allow God. Because what happens when you step away from everything, you begin to get a new paradigm. You start thinking, what was I thinking? What were we doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? You start asking these questions. So then you go into God's word. You start finding things out like, that's not even in God's word. Where did that come from?
Right.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You scrub a pup in Mary Esther right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer 3 levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Mm-mm, delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Man, it's this technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store for Android phones. So they can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app, right? And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day, you know, and the perspective of things going on. And that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today. We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us, is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness, but you're actually bringing light into that area. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. You have to be willing to separate yourself. And what God does, God, and it's important to understand that what was happening was God, and what will be happening is God. And so you have to honor both. You know, one example is that when... well, we're told very specifically in the Word of God that,
You cannot put new wine into old wineskins because it will destroy them. It doesn't mean that the old wineskin wasn't a wineskin, and it doesn't mean that the new wine's not wine. It just means you can't put the old with the new. Mm-hmm. But don't snuff out the new because you keep on wanting to connect to the old. Honor the old and move on to the new. Understand that the old primarily rejects the new. But that's, I really believe that's a God thing, so that, that you will not connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
It just pushes you away, and you're tempted to respond, but you don't. Because that would be wrongfully discerning the body of Christ. It would be saying something against the body of Christ. It rejoice in the fact that they don't want that to connect. Because he says if the two come together, they'll destroy both.
Mm-hmm.
The old move of God and the new move of God. You know, sometimes you just got to say, I'll see you in heaven.
That's right.
You know, I'll see you in heaven. One good example of that also, I'll be talking about this hopefully this week, is that how the old move rejects the new move is... there's a million of them. But I think about Azusa Street with Charles Seymour. On Azusa Street, God began, he cried, one man cried out for God just to move. And God moved so powerfully, began to fill people with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was new for the church at that day. And it wasn't new for the church, but the church had gone so long without the revelation and the filling of the baptism, the power, and there people were getting filled in whatever language it sounded like. If that sounded like Mandarin, they go, you're going to China.
Right.
If that sounded Spanish, you know, you're going to Mexico, or whatever. They would just send you places. And it's just a power. We talk about it today. As a matter of fact, a lot of the biggest movement happening on the face of the earth right now is the charismatic movement. You can see that birth really out of the Azusa Street. But his spiritual father, the one who trained him up, who was involved in the old move, and they've rejected Charles Seymour his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
He's an African-American. And they actually made him go to school while he was sitting outside the building looking in the window. So he was used to being separate.
Mm-hmm.
He was used to being separate. And thank God he was, because look at the charismatic movement today, because he was willing to go after God and not let that define him.
Mm-hmm.
But here he was. Now, the one that actually made him get educated outside the window,
right,
didn't let him come in the classroom. Now God begins to use him in Azusa Street in California. And all of a sudden, you know, God's moving. It's happening. It's powerful, undeniable. But all of a sudden, the old move, you know, Charles Parham, I believe, is a spiritual father, opens up a church, starts a church right across the street. And his sole purpose was, it appeared, he was holding deliverances for people that came out of Charles Seymour's Azusa Street move of God.
Right.
It's like, really? You know, you could really get offended about that. You know, I've already was out looking, I had to get educated. Standing in the heat, outside, looking in a window. You know, I went through all of that. I cried out to God when nobody else is crying out to God. God begins to move. Look at the power, what God's doing. And now you're going to open up. And it's like, you know what? You got to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
What's that mean? Does it mean because at one time they were rightly related, that all of a sudden now that Charles, you know, Parham is going to think, you know, that's not God? It's like, no, sometimes you got to say, hey. You know, Moses is dead. Joshua's going in. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This is it. And you cannot, and I'll just go, this is what I was going to talk about, is, you know, A.A. Allen. A.A. Allen was an evangelist used by God powerfully. He used to have tent revivals and healings, and R.W. Shambaugh was his younger spiritual son, I guess you could call that, that walked around with him. And he would say, you know, you have no problem. All you need is faith in God.
Right.
That's what he was known for, you know, healings and salvations and the tents. Americans today couldn't even probably imagine a tent yet. But we've seen God move in tents, haven't we?
We sure have.
I mean, 8,000 square foot tents.
Yep.
We haven't held revival like that in the tents, but we did some powerful things in the tent. Anyway, so, oh dear Lord, let it be air-conditioned building. Anyway, and so the Lord spoke to, A.A. Allen reports this, you can read about this in God's Generals, written by Robert Lyrdon, that he, God said, I want you to start a radio station. And yeah, he really didn't want to do it. And so he took it to the church board, and he pretty much knew they would turn it down.
Right.
You know, and so he goes and takes it to them, and they go, ah, you don't know. They just shot it down, shot the whole idea down. Then he's thinking, oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden God speaks to him and said, what are you doing taking what I told you to do to a man to see if it's all right?
All right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
That's like, and he's, needless to say, he got in the radio program. And God used him powerfully. That's when R.W. Shambach was beginning to grow up under A.A. Allen, which would carry on the next generation. R.W. Shambach, you don't have no problems. All you need is faith in God. Tyler, Texas, 75711. That was what, everybody would just listen to that. Mm-hmm. But that was actually because A.A. Allen obeyed. Oral Roberts, when Oral Roberts saw what A.A. Allen did in tents, Oral Roberts had faith to be able to have tents and have these tent meetings. And today we have ORU. When you think about all these different men who were able to ride on the coattails of somebody who just didn't, who was willing to obey God, to follow God, today we're benefiting from them. Think, what if Charles Parham just said, I guess the baptism in the Holy Spirit, even, you know, it's not, it's all of a sudden they just say no to God. Mm-hmm. And then all this charismatic movement could be affected. How many people would be burning in hell today because maybe, you know, Charles would have said, you know, but he was used to rejection his whole life. Listen, you got to get used to rejection. Rejection is a blessing. When an evil person rejects you, when a jealous person rejects you, that's a gift. That's a gift, because why would you want that person to be that connected to you?
Right.
They're going to just bring you harm and trouble. You know, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Right?
Exactly.
That's key words. And so you have to be willing to follow God, to follow him. And when he speaks to you, and the thing about it is, that today God is releasing a whole deeper level of mountaintop experiences to a wide variety. And hopefully, you know, he says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and they'll prophesy, which means they hear from God. So there'll be many people hearing from God, which means you won't be like those days where a few people heard from God and a lot of people followed a few people. Everybody will be hearing from God and will still follow God's authority. But it'll be just amen. Yeah, I heard that last night too, is what God showed me last week. This is what we've been praying about that already. And we just kind of, and amen means when we get together, we're saying amen because we heard it too. It's the same God, same Spirit, same Lord. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to begin to just hear that. And we're going to begin to hear the Lord. And even 8-year-olds will be able to confirm. And we're seeing this. We've been to the mountaintop, is what talking about. We've heard the voice of the Lord. And you can too. And God's calling you there. But understand, right now, there is something happening in the face of the earth. It's happening in the American church, at least, that there's people that God is calling out to be separate. Not because of what presently you're around is not of God. That's not it. But he's doing a new thing. Mm-hmm. These are people that are dissatisfied with knowing that there's more in God. These are people that read the word of God and they look at where they're at and they think, this is a contradiction to everything I read. These are people that said, the longer I stay here, the darker I get. Mm. Isn't there a place that I can stay holy before God? We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have 4 programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com. But don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up. And every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, mm-hmm. and then you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your mm-hmm. iPad, and I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, I went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know, it's a great way, so... Sign up for yourself and also sign up a friend.
The Orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Well, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And it's the anointing, it transferred.
I know, it's amazing, it never happened until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you for that contribution.
Yeah, to the program.
Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share
We're
them
just
with
blowing
the,
your mind. Can we get, it's like,
Till, yeah.
That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student, yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context
of that. It was Hagar. Remember?
It was Hagar. I know. Didn't she come from the... Anyway,
go ahead.
Okay, so back to all-time favorite quotes. I can't even say them today.
Dr. Brown, we're I did sorry, not Mr. say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call okay. it croaks?
Quotes.
Croaks.
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
You know, okay. Quoters. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right. Okay, we're here. All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just yeah.
It's
croaks?
Just you. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Very serious quote. Very
Let's get
serious
in the serious
quote.
Mode.
Yeah, I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right yeah. now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay. So.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
This is the people God is calling out and says, you know what? There is a cause. This is like the heart of David. There's a cause. He knew he was willing to die for the cause. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming against the armies of God? Listen, look at the church today. Look what's happening to the church. God loves the church, but the church is held captive. Who's going to be a David? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be a Gideon? Who's going to be a Joshua? Who's going to stand up and say, our God is greater than any of this. But see, you got to step out from what is to be able to become what God is going to do in the earth. And if think about this, the first great awakening was done on horseback, and that's what shifted America majorly. The second great awakening, what came after it, was the freedom of the African Americans from slavery. That was a byproduct of a great awakening, a second great awakening in our nation. What do you think is going to happen if we wake up? That's what a great awakening is mm-hmm. when the church wakes up.
Right.
And they did this on horseback, Pat. They yeah. did it on horseback.
Amazing.
Can you imagine riding that long on a horse? You know,
I can't even do it in a car.
I know. He's like, I can see you riding a horse now. Wait, Jesus, help me, Lord. I'm going to go sleep. anyway, so, and look at the technology we have today. Look at how quickly the word can get out. I mean, Azusa Street stopped because the secretary got jealous because Charles Seymour married somebody and she thought she should have married him. And so she took off with a mailing list because that's how you communicated back then.
Right.
And she went to Oregon and it just stopped. The whole thing stopped. But you can't stop today. Today, bad, good, everything just keeps going and going. And everybody's trying to stop things, but you can't stop them. And think about this first and the second great awakening. What's going to happen if we begin to believe God for a third great awakening? What's going to break loose in the world? What's going to break loose in America? Listen, our God is able, but we have to leave our life of sin. We have to know God is holy. Without holiness, no man would see God. But we have to believe that with him, it's a greater thing. That his plans for us are good. Plans to bless us and prosper us. Listen, what people call freedom is truly slavery. And what people call slavery is truly freedom. Because whatever you obey, that's what you're a slave to.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're following sin, then we're a slave to sin. But if we're following Jesus Christ, then we are bondservants. We are sons and daughters of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Listen, there is hope in Jesus right. Christ. There is so much hope in him. Listen, all we have to do is humble ourselves, pray, turn from our wicked ways, seek God's face, begin to abide with him and obey him, and watch this thing turn around on a dime. And we're just speaking about, you know, cheering up and understanding if you're going to be a part of what God is doing, sometimes you got to let go of what God has done. You know, the song's about give me that old time religion. We need to remember the wonders of the Lord. We need to remember what God has done, but understand, let's don't define what God's going to do by what he's done. Understand he's going to do a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
The old thing ain't going to work. But the new thing, God's going to do a new thing. We're going to find this generation is going to be hungry for what God's going to do as he reaches them. We need to honor what God has done while refusing to say no to following God. Say, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow Jesus, even if it means that every Pharisee and Sadducee tries to make you sad, you see, and understand that, you know, I'm just going to follow Jesus because this thing, at the end of this thing called my life, I'm going to be accountable to God by myself alone, no witnesses and no suspects. Guess what? You too. And if you keep considering other men's opinion of your eternal judgment and that moment before the throne of God, listen, they're not going to do you right. They're not going to be able to say, God, I'd like to call witness number 32 to be able to come in and testify why I procrastinated on the call of God on my life. I like to call witness number 33 who testifies that I was making such good money, I thought I couldn't give that job at a time like that. It's not going to happen.
Right.
I'd like to call suspect 3. Suspect 3, this is the one who actually did this. It wasn't me. It was in the blame game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And blame stands for what? But look at my excuse.
Right.
Man, there's so many excuses. It's amazing. I wonder if God's going to let you just stand before his throne and say, you know, look, you got a minute? He's like, I live outside of a minute. Go ahead. Well, you see, it all started when it was my mama's fault, and then it progressed to my father's fault, and then it was my brother's fault, and then it was my sister's fault, and then it was my teacher's fault, and then it was my boss's fault, then it was my warden's fault, then it was the judge's fault, and then it was my neighbor's fault. You know, think about it. It's like, that's what a therapy session is like in some secular situation.
Right.
You know, you pay somebody all this money to find somebody to blame for something that you refuse to take responsibility for, which has to happen at the cross. So I want to encourage you that maybe God's calling you to be one. It just takes one. I mean, it just took David. That's all it took was David to stand up, a man after God's own heart, and say, listen, I believe. Could it have cost him his life? Yeah. In the natural sense, he was facing a giant, an army, and he had nobody backing him up. He had a slingshot and 5 rocks. That's it. A slingshot and 5 rocks. I mean, come on. I mean, we have like all kinds of, there's more guns in America. We don't talk about guns, but there's just all kinds of spiritual weapons, that type of thing, that we can actually do spiritual battle, not physical battle, to be able to win the war. We can stand up and come against, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not, we're not battling against people. It's spiritual wickedness and evil spirits and dark things that are you can't see with your natural eye. And they manifest through people, but understand if you deal with the spiritual thing, then the physical thing will just line up. I mean, you think about it with Pharaoh and Moses and God's people. They have recently had the Bible on History Channel, and you have Charlton Heston doing his 10 Commandments. But understand this, that God was orchestrating all of that. And at the moment he wanted Pharaoh to come and push harder against his people, he would touch Pharaoh's heart and he would push harder.
Right.
And the moment he wanted Pharaoh to back off, he would touch Pharaoh to back off. And the moment he wanted Pharaoh to chase him on into the Red Sea, they chased him on into the Red Sea. And the moment that he wanted the water to come down top of their head and drown them and kill them, he let the water fall down and drown them. He brought them to bitter waters, but he made the bitter waters sweet.
That's right.
It's like, what point are we going to realize it's just between us and God?
Mm-hmm.
It's not these people. It's not definitely not a political party. It's not even a form of government. There's so many Christians today that are worshiping capitalism, you know, and some of them, others are worshiping socialism. And it's like, let's just worship Jesusism. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to the kingdom of God and let's quit, you know, trying to change the kingdoms of this world and realize we need to be the kingdom of God. And then in that, we can change the world by changing the heart of men. It's an exciting thing. That's how we change things from the inside out. The devil and the world's way is changing things from the outside in. Sometimes it never works its way in, but it is definitely from the outside in. If you just act right, you don't have to be right. Just do what I want you to do. With God, is you can look really whack, but you can be really good on the inside and it's working its way out.
That's
right.
Right. Exactly right.
Right. Whackisms 101. So I just want to encourage you, you know, maybe that's you. Maybe I'm speaking to you right now. And if that's you, listen, get a hold of us. You know, go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org, vinefellowshipnetwork.org. We're looking for a few good men and women who say, the only good in me is God, and I'm ready. I'm ready to stand up for God in this generation and be heard, even if it costs me my life. I want it to be written of me in history that I was on the right side. I was on God's side. And listen, when you're on God's side, even if you don't make it in this life, you're going to be present with the Lord forever, and it's going to be good for you.
Contact ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions. That really feeds into, into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiply, it's a multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.